May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text before us refers to the joy of finding, not specifically joy, but it's all about being found. And when I think of finding and the joy that results, I can't help but think of the parables of the pearl of great price, the lost coin, and the treasure buried in the field, among others. And when I think of finding, I can't help but share with you a story from my own young adulthood. Linda and I had just gotten married, and not long after that, we bought a house located in the woods. And we paid all of $17,900 for it. And we thought that was a lot. And now that would be a cheap car, wouldn't it? But then that was a lot for a young couple. And I do recall that one day Linda was going to be mixing something with her hands on the kitchen counter. And so she took off her wedding rings, the band and the wedding ring, and put them on the counter. And then she went on her way working. And when she finished, she forgot to put her rings back on. And so she came back into the living room. We went to bed. And then the next morning, when she went to the kitchen and looked at the counter, only the wedding band was there, not the ring with the diamonds, the wedding ring. It was gone. And she panicked. And what could have happened to that wedding ring? Why just the ring and not the band? And we searched all over, couldn't find it, thought maybe it slid off down on the floor somehow. No way. And it dawned on us, I think both at the same time, uh-oh. We lived in the woods, and if you live in the woods, you're going to have mice. And so we thought, a mouse took it. They like glittery things anyway, and perhaps some of the smell from the food was on it, and the mouse took it. Now try finding a mouse in the house. That rhymes. And we looked all over. I checked, you know, down in the basement. I went down and looked for where there might be mice nests and searched them. There weren't any, and there weren't any mice. And so we searched and searched. And then finally, one day, we set traps, and we trapped a mouse one day. Snap. And then Linda wanted me to do kind of a mouse autopsy to see if it had swallowed the ring. And I just kind of felt it. I said, no, there's no ring in this mouse. And it was months. And I caught Linda crying off and on. She was very sad. I knew it was bothering her. And then one day, she decides to clean the range top, and she's cleaning the pan under the ranges, and she discovers what? The ring. The mouse had gotten it that far, lost interest, and just left it there. Oh, she said, I found it, I found it. And I said, you found what? The ring, the ring. And she was so joyful, and so was I. And so the joy of finding. And we discover that as well in our text. Come and see. From John chapter 1, our gospel reading for this day. It was just an ordinary day in the life of Nathanael. He was sitting under a fig tree when Philip came up and he exclaimed, and I think almost breathlessly, we have found the one Moses spoke about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Perhaps just the hint of a smile appeared on Nathanael's face as he listened to Philip. There was quite a contrast between the two. Philip, simple and down to earth. Nathanael, who was straightforward. An Israelite in whom there is no guile, no deceit, Jesus said. Whereas we remember that Philip was the one who was worried about the cost of feeding a whole multitude. The fig tree under which Nathanael was sitting was in that day a symbol of wisdom. We can almost see Nathanael shaking his head as he growls, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip urges. I love Philip. I can relate to him, a simple man with a simple heart. And in fact, in John 12, we read of some Greeks who had come to Philip and asked to see Jesus. Philip told Andrew, and they immediately went to our Lord. Now, Philip was probably not the man to engage in long debates about philosophy or theology or doctrine. But one thing he did very well, he led people to Jesus. Come and see. Come and see a Savior who knows us. There's a story about a waiter who served in a rather mediocre restaurant. He walked up to a customer whom he had just served a few minutes before, and he asked, "How did you find your steak?" And the customer said, "Oh, it was easy. I looked under the taters, and there it was, hiding." Discovery can be a tricky thing. Perhaps you know the story of Archimedes, that ancient Greek scientist who was trying to determine if a crown was solid gold or whether it was gold mixed with the cheaper silver. And so he discovered the principle of displacement or buoyancy when he stepped into a tub of water and noticed that the water rose when he got in. And that led also to his discovery of the principle of specific gravity, and he could tell whether there was some silver in the crown or not. It ended up being solid gold, incidentally. But he was so excited about his discovery when he got into the tub that he immediately jumped out, stark naked, ran out into the streets of Syracuse, and shouted, "Eureka! Eureka!" Which is Greek for "I have found it." Incidentally, it's pronounced Eureka, but Eureka. The term Eureka conveys a sense of surprise and unexpected discovery, much stronger than our simple word, to find. The word appears three times in our text. Jesus found Philip, Philip found Nathanael, and Philip told Nathanael that he had found the Lord. Archimedes discovered a scientific principle in the water of a bathtub. It definitely was a eureka moment. In the water of holy baptism, we find Jesus Christ. In fact, better, he finds us. Can anything good come from Nazareth? As we look at our lives as fallen sinners, we ask, can anything good come from us? And apart from Christ, we have to confess no. And so what's the good news for us today? Come and see. Come and see a Savior who transforms bad into good. From strange places like Franklin, or our congregation, or our own hearts and lives. Note Philip's words. We have found the one. Not a principle, not a philosophy, not a fable, not a program, not even a religion. In fact, dare I say that Christianity is not a religion at all. It is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one, a flesh and blood Savior who can be found, he can be seen, he can be heard. Jesus is the one, a flesh and blood Savior who can find us, see us, touch us, and hear us. The Savior who saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree while he was still far away finds us, sees us, touches us, hears us, no matter how far away we have run from him, hidden from him, yes, even buried under the taters. Jesus is the one, a flesh and blood Savior who can be found on the cross, dying for us, and at the empty tomb, rising for us. Jesus is the one who can be found in his word, in holy baptism, in his supper. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see a Savior who makes dreams come true. Upon meeting Jesus, Nathanael declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus responds, You believe because I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This promise recalls Jacob and his vision in the Old Testament. As he lay down and slept on his way to Haran with a rock for a pillow, Jacob had a dream. He saw a vision of a stairway between heaven and earth and angels ascending and descending upon it. The Lord appears in the dream, and there he renews his covenant vow or a promise to Abraham. That stairway to heaven is fulfilled on the cross. The covenant promise to Abraham that through one of his descendants, all nations would be blessed. His descendants, surprising because at that time, Abraham and Sarah was an elderly couple and they had no children. A miracle child fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Savior, to whom Nathanael had said, Can anything good come? Who can make our dreams come true? We look into the mirror of the law and we see the ugliness of our sin, the twisted face of hatred, of prejudice, of greed, of selfishness, the distorted features of fear, hopelessness, and its twin, despair. Oh yes, we look into the mirror and we see a dream, but it's a nightmare. Can anything good come from you and me? Come and see Jesus, who transforms our nightmares into dreams come true, as he did for an orphan born in poverty and want, for whom every day was a struggle just to survive. That orphan we know is D.L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists of all time and founder of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. The cruel captain of a slave ship, whose name John Newton, comes to know Jesus Christ during a terrible storm at sea and goes on to write the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. A frail, bedridden girl named Charlotte Elliott, who pens the words of the beloved hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. The son of a poor family growing up in Glasgow, Scotland, slaved away his childhood in a cotton mill. He later became a famous missionary to Africa. His name was David Livingston. A young man who disappoints his father, who wanted him to attend law school and become a lawyer, but instead becomes a monk named Martin Luther. All these experience the power of God in their lives. Yes, can anything good come from you and me? By God's grace in Jesus Christ and the power of God in our lives, come and see. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.